hear the wind blowing in through the front door. Idiot wind blowing in from the back. Idiot wind blowing in from every crevice, every crack. Anybody wanna tell it like it is to each other, like you would to a sister or a brother. Cut this cosmopolitan style.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Matthew Miller, a partner at Vianovo, a leading strategy consultancy that works at the intersection of business policy and politics. Previously, he served as the director of the Office of Public Affairs for the Department of Justice, where he served as Attorney General Eric Holder's spokesman, helped manage the Obama administration's media response to three terrorist attacks, and oversaw DOJ communications on the financial crisis, major white-collar and criminal investigations, and antitrust and civil matters. Welcome to Background Briefing, Matthew Miller.
Thank you for having me.
And this week sometime, the House is set to vote to hold the Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress. This hasn't happened before, has it?
No, it's never happened to an Attorney General before, and it's unfortunate that it's happening now. It's unprecedented, but it's, I think, a sign of the, you know, the partisanship that we've seen from the House of Representatives, where you know, they don't want to focus on issues that really matter to people. They want to launch witch hunts, as they've done in this situation, and I think we'll see that come to fruition later this week.
And the chief witch hunter, if you will, appears to be Darrell Issa. He's already had a number of hearings that have resulted in some embarrassment to him, although I'm not entirely sure that he feels embarrassed, particularly when he had a group of men testifying about women's health and refused to have a woman testify. In this case, my understanding is that he basically has cherry-picked the evidence all along and simply will not have people on that could refute the entire case in terms of the Attorney General's culpability for this botched ATF operation known as Fast and Furious.
Yeah, it's really been baffling. If you think it's a real investigation. You know, a real investigation, you go out and you try to uncover facts and you draw conclusions based on those facts. But he has done the opposite in this case. He makes accusations first and then scrambles to try and find facts to justify them, and usually can't. And there's no better example than the fact that, you know, the first thing he did before he got a single document that had to do with Fast and Furious is he went out and said the Attorney General authorized this and knew about it, and senior officials knew about it. And then all of the evidence shows that's not true. And the former head of the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms Bureau, who was there when Fast and Furious happened, went in and testified privately to his committee's investigators and said he never told Eric Holder anything about Fast and Furious. And Democrats on the committee said, well, let's have him come testify publicly. That sounds like a pretty good piece of information to put on the record. And Issa has refused because it doesn't suit his purposes.
So what is the real story here then in terms of Eric Holder's knowledge of this? Because aren't they trying to basically repeat that kind of Watergate mantra? What did he know and when did he know it?
That's what they're trying to do. And you know, the facts are really clear, and you know, you don't have to take my word for it. I can tell you what happened, but the facts that ISA has uncovered support it too. You know, Eric Holder found out about this in early 2011 when we started to see, I was still at the Justice Department at the time, we started to see public evidence that gun walking might have happened, where these agents allowed guns to be sold and then watched them, under the theory that you would watch them make their way down the chain in a criminal conspiracy, and you would eventually bust someone higher up the chain than just the low man, the very low man, a straw purchaser. So this, you know, there were allegations in early 2011 that this was happening, and that guns that had been walked in this way were found at the scene of the death of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. And Eric Holder, as soon as he found out about him, did two things. One, he ordered an independent investigation by the Department of Justice's Inspector General. And two, he ordered gun walking to stop and said, if it's happening, it has to stop immediately, and it shouldn't happen anywhere else. And every fact that Darrell Issa has uncovered, and he's gotten all the documents that pertain to this, has showed that to be absolutely true. But that's not the conclusion he wants to come to. It doesn't support what he said. So what you see is him going off on other tangents in a real fishing expedition.
But he's presumably got the Republican Party on board with him, hasn't he? I mean, they wouldn't go to the extent of taking this. They've already had the committee vote to move it to the floor for a full vote of contempt of Congress against the Attorney General, an unprecedented vote in itself, unless he'd had his basic strategy authorized by presumably Boehner and Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. I mean, he certainly has gotten Boehner's authorization. Boehner knows, though, I mean, if you watch, it was widely reported in Washington that Boehner knew this was a real political loser for Republicans. This isn't what the country wants Republicans to do right now. And so Boehner tried to slow it down for a while, but eventually ISA has just created so much pressure on the right wing of the Republican Party. He went to the NRA, the National Rifle Association, just a few months ago, and when talking about Fast and Furious, said, "You can count on me." He made promises to the base of the Republican Party, and you know the far right wing of the Republican Party is who controls that party now. And Boehner just doesn't have really any choice but to do what they want, as he's done on other situations.
So he's basically slipped loose the dogs here in terms of the NRA, and presumably the NRA are going to weigh in on wavering Democrats, right?
They are. They've already said this is one of their most important votes of the year.
So
I don't know what this has to do with what the NRA states their mission to be, but I can tell you they've opposed Eric Holder from the beginning, going back to his confirmation. So I think this has more to do with them going after someone that they don't like than anything related to what they say their core mission is.
Right, but they've offered up as a kind of, at least apparently in earlier deliberations, ISA offered up the head of Lanny Breuer, right, the assistant attorney general. In other words, it'll all go away if you just sacrifice him.
He did. I mean, so ISA kind of has a problem here. I think that's why you see this contempt vote. You know, when you go out and you keep making accusations, like, you know, first he said Eric Holder knew about this, then he said the department was intentionally covering this up, and each of those accusations have proven to not be true. When you keep going out and making accusations and then you don't deliver any facts to support them, you know, how do you explain that to the public who's been watching you? It looks like you've had a failed investigation. And so, you know, he can't do that. And so, I mean, he can't live with that. So instead he's forced this contempt vote as a way to try to explain the fact that, you know, he really hasn't come up with any evidence to support the really reckless claims that he's been making.
Again, I'm speaking with Matthew Miller, who was previously the director of the Office of Public Affairs at the Department of Justice, where he served as Attorney General Eric Holder's spokesman. Now, the NRA, of course, you're saying they're after Holder's head. There's no real issue involved in this. And it's already become a Fox News issue, as much as the Border Patrol officer who was killed by an AK-47 that was gun-walked into Mexico. His parents have been on Fox News demanding justice for their son. They've been beating the drum on it. The NRA is coming in on the act, and they're going to strong-arm NRA Democrats into voting to hold the Attorney General in contempt. But, of course, the NRA are the authors of the Tyyard Amendment, which basically ties the hands of the ATF in terms of policing gun running into Mexico, refusing to allow them to share any information that they may gather. So it sounds like the reason for this operation in the first place is that the NRA have over the decades tried to make the ATF absolutely, they've tried to neutralize them and castrate them.
They've been really successful over the years in attaching amendments to legislation working its way through Congress to really cripple the NRA and make it, or I'm sorry, to cripple the ATF and make it hard for it to do its job. It's been a priority of the NRA for years, and they have been very effective in doing it.
But now they're saying this is all about the Second Amendment. I mean, why can't somebody expose the absurdity of that?
Well, I hope that people can. I hope that as this vote goes forward, people will see what this is about, because it does have nothing to do with getting to the bottom of what happened at Fast and Furious. That's already been done. Those facts have come out, and we know what happened. And so now, you know, since it doesn't, as I said, meet the agenda they're trying to advance, you know, they've really turned this, you know, first as a way to go after Holder, and then more fundamentally to really try to you know, hobble the ATF and make it hard for it to do its job. Just as a side note, you know, there as much concern as you hear on the right now about guns going to Mexico, there was a proposal the ATF had earlier in the administration to just track the sale of guns in several southwest border states. When people went in and made multiple purchases of firearms, the proposal was to just track those, so it would be easier for the ATF to track when people were buying large quantities of guns, and then, you know, in many cases, taking them across the border where they could be used in crime in Mexico. And the NRA, you know, got people in the House to sponsor an amendment rolling that back, and nearly every Republican in the House voted for it. Now, that amendment eventually didn't become law because it didn't go anywhere in the Senate, but it's just a sign of, you know, that the, you know, the claims that they really care about guns going across the border are really belied by the fact that they oppose any real proposals to help stop that.
But again, you know, I just feel that I'm in an information deficit here. You know, I've been aware of this because I've actually spoken to some of the ATF agents for a number of years about this situation that they've had with the NRA that's basically hobbled their ability to do their job and used the Congress to hobble this agency. But again, you know, what's your sense, Matthew Miller, of whether or not the other side of the story has been told? I mean, Fox News is beating the drum, the Republicans. I mean, a lot of I get blizzards of offers to interview right-wing spokespeople, and every day I get 200 or 300 emails, and they're all jumping on the bandwagon, saying, you know, this is the Obama administration's Watergate, for God's sake.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people on the progressive side of the aisle ignored this story for a long time because they thought it was more of the typical right-wing paranoia. You might have seen the Black Panther story that Republicans pushed for some time in the first couple of years of the Obama administration. You know, wasn't based anywhere in fact, and it you know, ate up Fox News and a bunch of other conservative media outlets for years. And I think progressives ignored that, or ignored Fast and Furious for a while, thinking it was similar. And you know, that was probably a mistake. It probably needed to pay more attention to this and do a better job in the progressive community of really pushing back at a lot of the untruths that they have put out there in this case.
And again, I speak with Matthew Miller, who served as the director of the Office of Public Affairs for the Department of Justice, where he was the chief spokesperson for Attorney General Eric Holder. Now, when you say that the information is all there, that the investigation has been done, everybody knows about what actually happened with Fast and Furious, but Darrell Issa doesn't want this information to come out. What is the basic story? Not to take up too much of your time, Matthew, but just give our audience the basic story of what happened. Because my understanding is this began in the Bush administration. This whole operation began as Operation Wide Receiver in the Bush administration.
Well, gunwalking did begin in the Bush administration. Fast and Furious as an operation began later in 2009 or 2010, but the strategy of gunwalking first was used in several operations in the Bush administration. Wide Receiver was one. There was another case called the Hernandez case, you know, with the theory that I explained a little bit earlier. And, you know, the difference, oddly enough, for all the controversy we hear now, the difference between the two administrations, you know, Eric Holder, when he found out about gunwalking in Fast and Furious, he stopped it. When guns were being walked in the Bush administration, Attorney General Mukasey not only was briefed about it, he was briefed about it in the context of going and talking to the Mexican government about it. He was, from what we can tell in memos that have been publicly released, really heavily involved. But Darrell Issa, for whatever reason, and I think the reason is obvious, it's politics, but for that reason has refused to ever call Mukasey to a public hearing, has refused to have him come in for an interview, has just ignored the fact that gunwalking in the previous administration was not just done at a career level in Arizona. It was really, you know, briefed to the highest office in the Justice Department.
So has Elijah Cummings, the Democratic minority chair of the committee, tried to get ISA to bring in former Attorney General Mukasey?
He has. He's asked to bring him in, but the way the House is run today, chairmen have exclusive authority about who testifies, and he's just flat out refused.
So what explains, Matthew Miller, why Fast and Furious began in 2009 during the Obama administration and Attorney General Holder only found out about it early in 2011?
So you have to remember in the context, there are, you know, there are thousands. I mean, the Justice Department is a big place, you know, 110,000 employees, multiple agencies, the FBI, DEA, ATF, really big agencies. And there are thousands of operations going on across the country at any one time. And no attorney general knows really at an operational level the details of each of those investigations. There's no way you could. What has come out in this investigation is that Fast and Furious, the gun walking tactics in Fast and Furious were developed, signed off, and implemented between the ATF in Arizona and the U.S. Attorney's Office in Arizona. And they were never briefed to the senior levels of the Justice Department in Washington.
So what's then, Matthew Miller, the role of President Obama invoking executive privilege? Because my understanding is what ISA is fishing for, these documents that he hasn't been given, the internal documents that are to do with how the Justice Department and the White House are supposed to handle this onslaught of accusations from Daryl ISA. Is that right?
That's right. The documents, they're, you know, all of the documents that have to do with Fast and Furious and what happened have been turned over to ISA. What's remaining at issue are documents pertaining to the Justice Department's response to his investigation long after Fast and Furious was ended by the Attorney General and after gunwalking was ended by the Attorney General. And you know, it goes back to what I said earlier. He keeps making accusations, and then when he can't come up with evidence to support his accusations, he moves the goalposts. And so when he couldn't find evidence that Eric Holder or anyone else senior knew about Fast and Furious, then he moved on to something else. And so now he's created this fight over documents. And by the way, the Attorney General offered to give him these documents last week. All he said in return that he wanted was he wanted insurance from ISA that this would mean the subpoena was fulfilled. And ISA wasn't willing to even give that assurance because if his subpoena was fulfilled and he has all his evidence, then he'll really be left with nothing because he hasn't shown senior involvement. He hasn't shown senior authorization. So it would be, I think, pretty obvious to everyone it's a failed investigation. So instead, he's created this constitutional conflict where I think we'll end up with a contempt vote later this week.
So what do you make then of what ISA said on Fox News Sunday when he was asked if he had any evidence of a White House cover-up? He said, no, we don't.
Well, that was pretty striking because, you know, that's when even ISA is willing to admit that there's no evidence of a White House cover-up, I think it's pretty clear that there wasn't one because that's the first time, about the only time I've seen him not be willing to make a reckless allegation.
Well, just in closing then, Matthew Miller, what do you think will happen here in terms of if this is a kangaroo court that the Congress is going through, and frankly, it feels a little bit like the impeachment of Bill Clinton, where, I mean, I suppose, at least in the case of Clinton, he did have some kind of dalliance with the intern. But in this case, this is made up out of whole cloth. There's no there. But there's all of this kind of this juggernaut of animus that's pouring out. So just walk us through what's likely to happen here.
So I think one thing I would say, I mean, there is a there in this case, and that gunwalking shouldn't have happened, and it did have tragic consequences. But, but we know that, and the Attorney General has said when the investigation is finished and we know who's responsible, he'll hold them accountable. But, there certainly is no there in terms of any high-level political involvement, as ISA has alleged. But I think what will happen, to answer your question, is that, you know, we'll have a contempt vote this Thursday. It will pass on a party-line vote. It's pretty clear that will happen. And then that will probably be the end of it. And, hopefully when that happens, this distraction and diversion will be over. And you would like to think the House of Representatives would go back to working on important things like extending the student loan benefits to make it easier for kids to go to college. But based on the evidence that we've seen from them, I'm not sure we can say that with any great degree of certainty.
But will this mean anything? And will it affect the Attorney General? It affect his ability to continue in his job? Will it have any practical effect?
No, it won't have any effect on his job. I think he'll, you know, I think, you know, this has been political theater. And one thing the Attorney General, I know, has gotten used to is political theater all around him from the day he started doing this job. And I think he does his best to ignore it and focus on what he's supposed to do.
But what about all those Fox viewers who saw the parents demand justice for the Border Patrol agent, their son who was shot? Will those people be satisfied that they've been taken in by ISA and that the whole thing has been an absolute clown show?
I don't know. The Fox viewers don't always get every side of the story, but I do think, you know, you would hope that everyone, and you know, I would hope for the Terry parents who, I mean, it's an unspeakable tragedy that they've had to endure, and you know, there are really no words that can, I think, convey what it must be like to bury a child. It's not a natural event. I think the you know, what you can say to them is that, you know, at the end of the day, when this investigation is complete and we know who's responsible, the Attorney General has said he'll hold those people accountable, and I think that's what we should want him to do.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Matthew Miller.
Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Matthew Miller, who's a partner in Vianovo, a leading strategy consultancy that works at the intersection of business, policy, and politics. Previously, he served as the director of the Office of Public Affairs for the Department of Justice, where he was the Attorney General Eric Holder's chief spokesman, and helped manage the Obama administration's media response to three terrorist attacks and oversaw DOJ's communications on the financial crisis, major white-collar and criminal investigations, and antitrust and civil matters. We'll take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with a journalist who just quit Al-Akhbar, a Lebanese newspaper, because of their pro-Assad bias.